认识现代神学第21讲，我们来到第10章，历史的神学学派的尾声。作者在对这个学派的批判来到第四点，第四方面的批判 Number 4。 By making faith exclusively dependent on history that is known through historical research， 帕能博既然呢把信心完全建立在历史的研究，可以找到的历史，完全根植在这个历史的根基上。 Pannenberg accepts also the corollary that ordinary people are not capable of believing on their own。 那么潘能博必须接受一个的结论，就是一般人是不能够靠自己相信的。But only as they submit themselves to the authority of the learned historian， 他们必须顺服在那些有学问的历史学家的权柄之下。 In doing this， Pannenberg leaves the ultimate step of faith not in the hands of the simple believer。 这样做的时候，潘能博呢就把这个至终的信心这一步不是放在有简单信心的信徒的手中， But the scholarly theologian who establishes the trustworthiness of the information， 乃是放在那个学者神学家的手中，由他来设立资料是否可靠。 Number 5， 最后的批判。 Critics have also indicated that， 评论家也指出， Pannenberg cannot explain satisfactorily on this basis the reason for unbelief。在这个基础上呢，潘能博士不能解释为什么人会不信，他的不是令人满意的理由来的。 If faith is based exclusively on a knowledge of history， 只要信心完全是根据对历史的认识， Does this not break down the antithesis between faith and sight？ 那么信心和看见之间的对立岂不就是拆毁了吗？格林多后书五章第七节，保罗说：“我们是凭信心，不是凭看见。” Further， 不但如此 ，What place is there in the thinking of Pannenberg for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit？ 那么在潘能博的思想中，圣灵的光照又占有什么地位呢 ？If history is the sole foundation for faith， 假如历史是信心的唯一的根基 ，Why is it that when Paul preached the resurrection in Athens, some believed while others mocked？ 那么为什么当保罗在雅典传基督复活的时候，有些信又有其他人嗤笑他呢？使徒行传17章32到34节。 On the premises of Pannenberg, this question becomes impossible to answer。 根据潘能博的前提呢，这个问题是不可能回答的。End of chapter 10， 第十章结束。 Chapter 11， 第十一章。 Theology of Evolution， 进化神学学派。 One of the most interesting religious events of the late 1950s and the mid 1960s， 在1950年代末和1960年代中，一个非常有趣的宗教事件就是 has been the posthumous popularity of the Jesuit scientist and mystic Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, 1881 to 1955， 就是法国的德日进神父，一位耶稣会的科学家跟神秘主义者，在死后是多么的受人欢迎。 The founder of what might best be called a theology of evolution， Teilhard wasForbidden by the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church to publish any books during his lifetime because of their heretical contents。 德日进可以说是进化神学学派的创始人，在他生前呢，罗马天主教的权力阶层呢禁止他发表任何的书籍，因为他们含有异端的内容。 ButWithin 15 years of his death， 但是在他死后的15年之内， his books suppressed during his lifetime have continued to appear， 在他生前被 押注的啊，被压币的啊书籍呢，陆续的出版了。And his thought continues to shake the world of science and theology in the West. 而他的思想继续的摇动着西方的科学界和神学界。A professor in Roman Catholic Fordham University, USA predicts. 一位在美国纽约 Fordham 大学的罗马天主教徒的教授这样预测 Talat will become the church's new philosophical system. 德日进将会成为天主教的新的哲学系统。In 1963, an article appeared under the title The Priest Who Haunts the Catholic World. 有一篇文章是谈到天主教的世界如何活在一位的神父的阴影之下。Predicting the outcome of the Second Vatican Council.Will either reflect the Teilhard spirit, or it will accomplish nothing of importance. 就预测第二次梵蒂冈会议呢，它的结果要就是反映出德日进的精神，或者呢，就一无成就。27 Roman Catholic scholars in 1960 predicted. 在1960年，有27位罗马天主教的学者预测 that.Teilhard's thought will ultimately lead to the most radical redressing of Catholic philosophy since Thomas Aquinas introduced Aristotle into the medieval church 7 centuries ago. 德日进的思想呢，最终会带来天主教哲学的最彻底的重新的包装。也就是说，自从700年前多马阿奎那介绍引进亚里士多德进到中古时代之后，这次是最重要的重新的包装。None of this should be interpreted to mean that Teilhard's influence is strictly in the West or in Catholic theology exclusively. 这一切的意思并不是说德日进的影响只是在西方或者只是在天主教的神学界而已。Some of his most ardentCommentators are Protestant scientists and theologians. 他有一些非常热心的评论者是基督教圈子里面的科学家和神学家们。And already, his thinking has begun to touch the third world, though still in the beginning stage. 而他的思想已经开始影响到第三世界，虽然仍然是一个开始而已。A young Ecuadorian scholar,Francisco Bravo, 一位 Ecuador, 南美洲 Ecuador 的学者 Bravo, B-R-A-V-O, recently produced a careful book on Teilhard, 最近出版了一本对德日进的详细的研究 which Ivan Illich, executive director of the Center of Intercultural Formation Mexico, has described as a prime opportunity for English readers to become aware of theUnsuspected importance this author has assumed in a world which is conscious of its own growth, yet often called underdeveloped. 这本 Bravo 所写的书呢，由 Ivan Illich 来称赞。Illich, I-L-L-I-C-H, 是墨西哥的 Center of Intercultural Formation, 跨文化的属灵塑造中心的主任，他这样形容 Bravo 的书，他说这个是一个对英语的读者大好的机会，来意识到这位作者就是德日进呢，在一个所谓还没有发展的但是意识到自己的成长的那个地区的教会，这个作者是如何影响这里的就第三世界的教会的。Dom Helder Camara, Archbishop of Olinda and Recife, Brazil, 巴西一位的天主教的大主教 Camara, C-A-M-A-R-A, pays homage to Teilhard for reminding man of the Christ and man's own courage. 他称赞德日进提醒人来注意基督和人自己的 勇敢。This, says Illich, is an example of the repercussions that Talardian thought is creating Latin America today. Illich 说，这个是一个例子，德日进的思想在拉丁美洲今天有怎么样的回响。In the Far East as well, Talard's influence grows. 德日进的影响力也在远东地区日益增长。Professor Su Nam Dong, Dean of the College of Theology, Yonsei University, Seoul, Korea, has taken themes from Talard. Su Nam Dong 教授，韩国首尔 Yonsei 大学的神学院的教务主任，提炼出一些德日进的一些的主题 ，and develop them into a concept of what he calls the cosmic Christ, the new humanity, the Christ of the future. 发展成为他所称为的宇宙性的基督、新人类、未来的基督这些的概念。Many factors help to explain Teilhard's sudden and immense popularity. 德日进突然之间受到广大的欢迎。要用很多不同的因素来解释。His outstanding personality, the humanity of his character, are quickly apparent to anyone who has either read about his life or merely touched the priest's life through his published books. 他的 很出人头地的人格，他的人性，对任何读过他的生平，或者只是透过他的著作接触到他的一生的人来说，是很明显的。To the scientific world, 那对科学的世界来说 he appeals as a geologist and paleontologist of high distinction. 他是一位很出色的地质学家跟人类学家。To mention merely one of his scientific contributions, 我们只提出一方面的他在科学上的贡献。He took part in an expedition which unearthed the skull of the so-called Peking man. 他参与了北京人出土的那些的探索 to the theological world 那在神学世界里呢 he appears as a mystic who has sought to combine the best of the two worlds 他是一位神秘主义者他试图结合两个世界 evolution and the Roman Catholic Church 就是进化论和罗马天主教教会 to modern man 对现代人来说 he appears as an adventurer 他是一位探险家20 years spent in China as a scientist. 他有20年之久身为科学家生活在中国 The underdog forbidden by the establishment to publish anything relating to his evolutionary theories. 他是被权力架构压迫的人他被禁止发表他的进化论的理论 And a man of principle remaining loyal to his order in spite of the restrictions on his writing.最后他是一个守原则的人他虽然他的教派限制他的写作他仍然是效忠于他的教派就是耶稣会的五方面的要点 Number one 第一个要点 The starting point of Teilhard's thought is evolution 进化是德日进思想的起点 put what he calls a light illuminating all facts, a curve that all lines must follow. 他说进化是一道光光照所有的事实一条曲线所有线都要跟随着他的。The earth, he says, was formed not less than 5 and probably not more than 10,000 million years ago. 他说地球是不止在500万年前出现的不过也不会超过 10,000 million years ago 也不会超过1亿年 10,000 million Since that time, its evolutionary process has gone on 那自从那个时候呢地球不断的经历进化的过程的 Number two, 第二点 this evolutionary process moves according to what he calls the law of complexity consciousness. 那这个进化的过程呢，是根据他所称为复杂性意识的定律 complexity consciousness 的定律而前进的。 That is, there is a tendency in evolution for matter to become increasingly complex. 在进化的过程中，物质呢有个趋向是越来越复杂。 Elemental particles, the alpha point, into atoms. 基本的粒子就是起点 alpha point, 进化成原子。Atoms into molecules, 原子进化为分子 molecules, molecules into living cells, 分子又进化为有生命的生物细胞 cells into multicellular organisms, 从生物细胞呢就进化成为多细胞 的有机体或者生命体。 On the other hand, 从另外角度来看， there is a corresponding rise in the consciousness of matter, 与此同时的物质 matter 也会在意识上有不断的提升。 Teilhard describes this secondary part of the process in terms of spheres. 德热进呢说这个第二层次的过程呢是以一些的圈或者层面来描述的 language long popular with the scientists in describing the earth. 那这个不同的层呢是多年来科学家来描述地球的时候常用的一些的词汇。The earliest stages of evolution are designated the barest sphere, the time of the molten interior of the earth. 进化的最早的阶段是 barest sphere, 背层，就是地球内部融化的那个阶段。This is followed in time by the lithosphere. 随后呢，就有着岩石的岩圈层 ，the time of the forming of the hard crust of the earth. 地球慢慢成为一个硬壳的阶段。Then comes the hydrosphere. 接着来的是水的圈层 ，the water in the sea and the air， 就是在海洋和空中的水。And the atmosphere, 最后是大气层 the development of the gaseous envelope surrounding the earth, 就是围绕着地球的那个气层的发展。At this point in the evolutionary history of the earth, 那么地球的进化到了这一个阶段的时候呢， according to Teilhard, 根据德热进来说， biological life appears on the earth, 地球上就出现了有生命的生物 The word biosphere 那现在呢就来到了生物层了 It's used to denote this living layer of creatures who had evolved out of the other layers 生物层呢是指从其他的圈层进化出来的这一层有生命的生命体的层次To describe the next stage, Teilhard in 1920 invented a new word. 为了要描述下一个阶段，在1920年，热进发明了一个新的词汇 new sphere, 心智层。He used it to denote the next step in evolution, the formation of a mind layer on the earth. 他用这个词来指进化的下一个阶段就是在地球上一个心智的思想的层次的形成 The appearance of thinking man on the earth 就是地球上有思想的人类出现了 The stage is one of the most important in the history of the world 这个是世界历史里面最重要的一个阶段之一 According to him 根据德热进的看法 He also calls it hominization 他也称之为人化或者人类化 的阶段。At this stage, 到了这个阶段呢， the evolution process becomes conscious of itself. 进化的过程就有了自我意识了。And man becomes a spearhead. 人 就是这个进化过程的先锋。Number three, 第三个要点。At this stage in his evolution theory, Teilhard draws in theology. 德日进在他的进化理论的这个阶段呢，就把神学也引进来。By predicting the evolutionary future, 他预测了进化的未来。He sees the whole evolutionary process beginning from elemental particles, the alpha point, and converging upon what he calls the omega point, that is, a supra-personal unity of all things in God. 他认为呢，整个进化的过程是从粒子，就是起点 alpha point 开始的，最后呢在 omega point 终点汇合，这个终点就是一个超位格的万物在上帝里的统一 unity of all things in God. In this view, 根据这个的看法， God becomes the final rather than the efficient cause of all the universe. 现在上帝不是整个宇宙的有效成因，乃是至终的成因。Drawing all things toward perfection in himself. 上帝在他里面吸引万物达至完全。This is the stage, he says, when God will be all in all. 这个就是当上帝在万物中的阶段。哥林多前书第十五章二十八节。A superior form of pantheism. 这个是一个超越的一种的泛神论。The expectation of perfect unity, steeped in which each element will reach its consummation at the same time as the universe. 期待着一个完全完美的合一，每一个粒子都浸淫在这个合一中，它和整个宇宙同时就会达到它们的最后的终点。我们下次继续来讲第四和第五个要点，之后呢，我们的作者会提出七方面的批判，我们下次继续。